And we're happy to bring back our buddy Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. Hello, Mel. How are you?
Good to be with you guys. Great to be here.
Hey. Right, so, a lot of quarterback talk, but I want to get into your little mock draft the other day with Todd McShay, because in that mock draft, you traded up to number 7 with Detroit. You were picking for New England, and you took Mac Jones. Did that have everything to do with the 49ers taking Fields, or do you just regard Mac Jones as the fifth quarterback in that group?
So we were picking as if we were the GM for each team. So Fields went 3, and then obviously that allowed Mac Jones to slide. And I would say whether it's Jones or Fields, I'm New England, I'm making a move to get the quarterback. I don't think you can sit at 15 and get the quarterback. Obviously, you think about the Carolina Panthers. We had Peter Schrager on NFL Live with that. He still thinks Carolina could take a quarterback. Denver certainly could take a quarterback at 9, or somebody else could trade up ahead. Chicago, Washington could trade up ahead of you. So I don't think you can just sit at 15 guys and get a quarterback. If you like one of those 5, and whether it's Fields, I do think Mac Jones is going 3 to the 49ers. If we do a true mock draft right now, I would say it's 70% okay. that it's Mac, probably 30% that it's Trey Lance, 0% that it's Justin Fields to the 49ers. So I would say, you know, if the quarterback that's available and a slide down just a little bit, it would probably be either Fields or Lance.
You know, Mel, you know, a lot of it's being made of Devontae Smith and his it's like, oh, the big reveal. He's skinny and light. He's 166 pounds. Are we overanalyzing the fact that, you know, how skinny he is?
Well, yeah, Ted Williams, I brought up an FLI. Ted Williams, I call him the splendid splinter too, Devontae Smith. Ted Williams always thought, hey, I'm too skinny to be a power hitter. I don't know if I can make it. And greatest hitter of all time, you know, 521 home runs. Home run on his last at bat in 1960 and hit 406 in 1941. So you think about Ted Williams, and if this kid can be a great player in the NFL, nobody's going to care what his weight is. Yeah, Ted Williams used to squeeze a rubber ball to make his wrist strong. It's where he got his power from, his wrist. Devontae Smith has been healthy outside of that finger injury when he bobbled a ball in the championship game. He's played in the SEC. He's probably going to play at 175. I was with Marvin Harrison when he was a senior at Syracuse at the Hula Bowl, and I'll tell you, when he showed up at the Hula Bowl, he's probably 175. He played around 180, you know, and look at Isaac Bruce, Mort brought up this week. So it's not like receivers that are in that 170, 175, 180 range haven't had great success in this league. They have. Everybody said Russell Wilson was too short. Aaron Donald wasn't the exact size you need, and it seems like automatically when they question the size of a player in this league, these guys turn out, Tyrann Mathieu, guys turn out to be pretty doggone good.
What about like the comp that we were using was DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, he's short. Yeah, he's, you know, Devontae's taller. You know, DeSean was in that 5'10 and a half range, but super explosive, super quick, down the field threat. You know, Devontae's, you know, taller. He's got, like I say, he's angular. He's got the length, the long arms to go get the ball. And that's the key with him. You know, he plays like he's 6'5. And that's the thing that's very underrated. We're worrying about the weight. Well, why don't we talk about the height? He's not 5'9, 5'10, 5'11. So he's a taller receiver with long arms. So he can go get the ball. And that's, I think, gives him a big edge when he's in, and you think he's covered, and he's not, and you got a 5'10 corner trying to cover him. And he's stronger than you think. I mean, you can be lean and mean too, and you can be once. And like I said, once he's in the league, is anybody going to be asking what Devontae Smith weighs? No, they're not.
Talking to Mel Kiper, and Mel, we were just talking about some quarterbacks, you know, and in the past, like the hit or miss, right? The guys that maybe the first round bust, mm-hmm. and I'm just saying, maybe the last 3 or 4 years, when you look at it, the NFL game has kind of transitioned. You know, a lot of the college game has come into the NFL game. Does that make it easier to determine whether a guy can make it or not? Does that make it easier for you to project it?
It makes it easier to an extent, but the league is just, yeah, they're tearing them up. I mean, they're not developing quarterbacks. They're not patient with quarterbacks, and they seem like it's kind of knee-jerk reactions to quarterbacks now, and then they change systems, they change personnel in terms of their front office, and then the new coach, and he comes in, he kicks this guy to the curb, and he goes with his own guy, and it's all about resetting the clock in terms of his contract. So this is a different way of evaluating, and basically a different way of handling quarterbacks. When I came up in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, you developed a quarterback, he was with you his entire career. Now, it's like, okay, 25-year-old quarterbacks are being kicked to the curb, and they move on. And Carson Wentz at 28 now in Indianapolis. Jared Goff's moved on since that draft, and we see where other guys have gone. Sam Darnold's 23 years of age, and here he is, same age as quarterbacks in this draft, and he's with his second team already. So it's just like you say, it may be easier to an extent, but look at the success rate or lack of success for quarterbacks that have been drafted in the first round since 2016. It's staggering how bad it is for quarterbacks still with the team that drafted them. They're just not hanging on anymore. Quarterbacks aren't lasting long with the teams that drafted them.
Is that had to do an awful lot with going to bad teams? I mean, bad teams draft first, right? They're drafting out, right out of the gate.
Yeah, but we're 0-22 in a stretch from when Stafford came out to when Wentz and Goff came out, and 44 quarterbacks from Tom Brady's your own, and only three are with the team that drafted him, and that's the Ryan and with Atlanta and Roethlisberger where he is, and Aaron Rodgers. And you think about Roethlisberger's in his final year, and Aaron may not be with Green Bay after this year, and Matt Ryan, who knows, two more years, three more years. So I guess even if you go back to recent drafts, guys aren't with these teams. I mean, look, where Haskins is gone, I mean, now we got Darnold gone, Rosen's gone. I mean, these are guys who were drafted not long ago, just a couple of years, they're not even with their team. So I just think teams now are just looking to just, hey, if this isn't the guy, then we're just going to cut it loose. We're not paying what Stafford got and Bradford. Remember, Stafford and Bradford got those last huge deals. So money tied the quarterback to a team. Now they don't have that. So they don't have that financial overload. So I think they can move on quicker because of that, and they seem like they are because, like I say, as soon as a new coach – look at that. New coach comes in, new GM. Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold. New coach comes in, and there's Sam Darnold moving on. So look what happened with Kingsbury. Rosen was there. Kingsbury came in. There's Kyler Murray. Well, let Rosen go. Rosen goes to Miami. Well, we're going to get Tua. Rosen's gone. So nobody's had as bad a luck in this early part of his career than Josh Rosen has. We don't even know if the guy can play, yet he's been with now. These two teams had him, and two teams let him go.
So, Mel, when you look back, because that's what we've been doing. We've been, looking ahead, being consistent, and looking back and trying to determine what actually is a hit for a team. Like, what is if a quarterback is picked in the first round, What do you consider, what do they have to do in order for that to be considered a success? Like, what do they have to achieve? Is it a second contract? Is it, a Pro Bowl? I mean, what do you think it has to be?
It varies. I mean, I thought Carson Wentz was a great pick for the Eagles, and he was an MVP candidate at 28. We get rid of him, and we'll go with Jalen Hurts. So I don't know what allows an organization to feel like this is our guy forever, that he's going to probably finish his career with this team. And that's not going to happen. I thought Carson Wentz would always be an Eagle. I thought Goff would always be in with the Rams, and now he's gone. He's in Detroit. So I thought Goff was at a Super Bowl. Early in his career, he took a team to a Super Bowl. Wentz was an MVP early in his career. Three straight years where he put up numbers that were in the top group of the quarterbacks in the league. So, I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know what's good enough anymore. I really don't know, because then when a change occurs with a GM or a head coach, and then you look at the reset of the clock, or guy's a bad year. Wentz had a bad year. Why? Because they didn't make talent around them. Everybody got hurt. They don't seem to care about that anymore. So, it's just, I don't know. I just kind of throw my hands up and say, I don't get it. I do not understand what's going on with quarterbacks in the NFL these days.
All right, we're talking to Mel Kiper. Mel, the mock draft you guys did, you and Todd, picking back and forth, I noticed you have Surtain going to 10 to Dallas, and then so not another defensive player until 15, and that's Micah Parsons. So are the offensive players so good in this draft, or is this a bad defensive draft?
That's a great question. I think it's because of the great offensive players. And they're not just forced up because they're offensive players. And we got to get offense. We got to score a point. These are guys that would be highly rated in any draft. These five quarterbacks are really good. They're really good prospects. The three receivers, Waddle and Smith and Chase, in those specific order, those three are special. Pitts is an elite tight end once in a decade. The two offensive tackles, Sewell and Slater, really good players. So when you put it all together, right there, there's five, that's eight, that's 11. That's 11 total offensive players, that it's hard to find a defensive player that actually ratings-wise should be ahead of those 11. That's why the first defensive player we have coming off the board is a 10, just because of that. Because if you're picking in the top 10, you better get a guy that's ranked in your top 5, 6, right? Well, the offensive players are the guys that should be ranked that high, and if you're going to reach a little bit, you're going to take a defensive player, and teams don't like to do that. So that's why Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, the corner from South Carolina, Parsons, and Parsons opted out. And then you think about the two corners, and then Caleb Farley opted out and then was hurt with the back surgery, had a second back injury, second back surgery, I should say, on the heels of an ACL in 2017. So a lot of the defensive players, either some of them opted out, some of them have an injury concern, some of them, like I said, Gregory Rousseau at 15.5 sacks in 2019, didn't play this year, then had a subpar pro day. Jalen Phillips was a great pass rusher, but he had some durability concerns at Miami, formerly of UCLA. So all the defensive players that I mentioned have an issue that prevents you from putting them in that top 15 group.
Mel, we always hear in the last week, last 2 weeks leading up to the draft, guys moving up the board, some guys moving down on the board. And I don't know, guys that are reporting it, I have no idea whether they are hearing anything. How much of that do you think is smoke that maybe teams are throwing it out there because they're trying to change the order a little bit to get a guy to drop to them?
Yeah, everybody talking. It's like, who's the hot names? Everybody asks. You talk to your friends in the league, and who's some of the names that are popping right now? Who's hot? Coming off a great pro day, you know, what happened? Or a bet, or good medical, or things like that. They can change. There are things that can affect how a player is viewed. If the medical is better than people thought, if he ran either better than you thought or slower than you thought, it can impact him good or bad. So, yeah, there are some guys, and I think some guys this year, Ernest Jones, a linebacker out of South Carolina, seems to be red hot right now. Malcolm Kuntz, a linebacker out of Buffalo, seems to be moving up into that second round mix, or he's trending that way. So there are guys like that that you definitely feel. A guy like Hunter Long, the tight end out of Boston College, could be the second tight end drafted. He's trending up. So yeah, you do see that when you talk to people, that they're maybe a little higher than you thought. Those are usually the guys you say are moving up. Guys that you had at a certain point that you talk to the guys in the league and say, you might want to move him up a little bit. So that's where a lot of that comes from.
So, okay, so in your mock draft with McShay, you were doing it because, like, you were just playing GM, right? And yeah. Trades were being moved. So, and I understand why you did what you did. But when it comes to the Patriots, if you're the GM for the Patriots, okay, and you know what the roster looks like, I mean, what is your number one priority? Is it still quarterback for you? Or are the quarterbacks that you have graded, Mel Kiper have graded, may not be around? And you can't move up to get one of these guys because nobody wants to trade with you because they don't like you. Who are you picking?
Well, you're probably looking there at a linebacker like Micah Parsons. I mean, he's going to possibly be there. Actually, I had him going 15 to the Detroit Lions in that trade with New England, and New England picking 15 will obviously have him there. There's going to be a pretty good corner there. There's going to be maybe a chance for a receiver by moving down. And I'd say from 15, maybe down, get some picks, and then look at a guy like De'Ami Brown. There's a hot guy, wide receiver out of North Carolina, averaged over 20 yards a catch the last 2 years, and ran 4.43, and he's over 6 feet tall. Very underrated player. So people say, well, you know, Rashad Bateman, Minnesota, Terrace Marshall Jr., LSU. Also put De'Ami Brown in there. You want a slot guy? You got Elijah Moore from Ole Miss and Kadarius Toney from Florida and Tutu Atwell from Louisville. So you can move off of 15 guys and still get a really good receiver in the 20s. So they have options. They can go up and get the quarterback. If they don't want the quarterback or want to be aggressive and go get him, they could actually go from 15 on down and maybe look at a wide receiver.
You know, Mel, I know a lot of people, you talk about the top five quarterbacks going in the first round, and I've heard like next year's college draft, right, quarterbacks, and who knows, it changes every single year, right? But maybe it's just there's no one out there. So do you see a team maybe trading back into that first round or moving up to try to get that second wave of quarterbacks?
Davis Mills from Stanford seems to be the guy that people may do that for. You know, he had 11 career starts. If you watched him in games, I say he only played in 5 games this year. He missed one game with COVID protocols, 11 career starts, but he looked pretty good. I mean, he has a short memory. He threw 3 picks against UCLA, threw 3 touchdown passes, and then played well late in that game. So he's the kind of guy you want to say maybe they will. Maybe it's at 32 or 31. Somebody wants out. KC or Tampa Bay want out. Maybe somebody jumps in there. Maybe Tampa Bay takes him as the heir apparent to Brady. Who knows? They filled all their needs by just bringing all their guys back. Needs that we thought would open up with Tampa didn't. So they're in pretty good shape to take a luxury pick there, or maybe the heir apparent at quarterback to Tom. But I do think he's one, and I'll tell you, a day three guy is going to be Jamie Newman. Really interesting kid, played at Wake Forest, had a great 2019 season, and then went to Georgia but didn't play. And he's got size, arm strength, athletic ability, toughness, awareness, smarts. He's got the tools. He just has to get back into playing football. He hadn't played, as I said, since 2019 when he did a really good job at Wake.
Hey, hold on real quick. Mel, is your grading system the way you grade players? Is it similar to the way the pro teams do it? Do you legit grade, horizontal, vertical, that whole thing?
Yeah, I've always used 10 as the highest grade, which nobody's ever gotten. John Elway had a 9.9, and some others had in that grouping a 9.8, but nobody's ever had a 10. They'll give it to it, and then 4 being the lowest. So normally your 7s or above, or the guys that you would say, or 7.5s or above is normally where I would have the cutoff point when I did my top 150. It was usually the 7.3s, 7.5s or higher. I could draft. I could do a 12-round draft, guys, and probably not have more than 150. I could certainly do a 7-round draft, and I have more than 120. You don't need to have all those. You're going to be bringing in undrafted free agents that are in your top 150 on your board. That's how different ratings are around the league. Now, some teams only have a board of 120 players. So you don't need to have all these players that are drafted. You get the number and you look seven rounds. You don't need all those players to be graded to be guys that you really like. Like I said, you're going to be signing undrafted free agents that are graded out as maybe fifth-round draft choices.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. All right, I have one final question. It's a personal question. You're going to be going nonstop next week, starting on Thursday through Saturday. How much cups of coffee do you drink? Because you're going nonstop. And then I'm sure after you do the first night, the second day, you can't get any sleep on Thursday night,
no,
right?
No, zero. Not really none any night, because you think about the worst opportunity for that would be after day two, night two, which is Friday night. That doesn't end till midnight or thereafter by the time we get done doing our Sports Center stuff and all the wrap-ups, right? So you might get back to the room at 2 in the morning. You haven't eaten anything, so you got to eat a little. So you're going to get to bed at 4. You got to get up at 7. You got day 3. You got to go day 3. Day 3 starts at noon Eastern. So you get – that's the hard one, the long day 2 into the wee hours of the morning, and then you have to get up early to do day 3. That's the toughest transition, is from day 2 to day 3. But – no, coffee, no. It's just a Snickers bar maybe and a little ginger ale, and that's basically it.
So no coffee before this interview.
No. Believe me, you wouldn't understand a word I said if I had coffee.
Now, the worst part about it is you told us the last time you start working on next year's draft the next day. I would have thought you'd sleep for a week. Apparently not.
Well, guess what? I just still love this. I just sent the producer, Rob Adamski, from the NFL draft show, the day 3. So Rob does a great job. He wanted my top 5 quarterbacks for next year's draft and my top 10 players, and I've already sent it to him. He's got it ready to go on day 3.
All right. Mel, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, and we certainly will be watching next week.
And by the way, the Clemson quarterback is going to be the number 1 pick overall in 2023. So there you go.
There you go. Write that down.
DJ Uyagangalele. That's the kid that's going to be the number 1 pick in 2023.
Christian, can you say that name yet?
Uyagangalele.
Thanks, Mel.
Uyagangalele. There you go, guys.
Jesus.
How are we going with that?
Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN on the Harbor One Hotline. WEEI's coverage of the NFL Draft presented by Zooty. Build any application your company needs in 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zooty.com for details.